illegal phone tapping recorder. Okay.
Better you than someone else.
Yes. Carolyn Gadsden, what was your Betty name and what did you do in the Bettys?
My name was Betty Getty, and I played the bass, and I sang. I guess you could call it that.
Well, you know, on the tape that I have that you put together, and thank you for doing that, Music Saved My Soul, there are some songs I think you're singing on, and I'm not sure which, but do you remember the tape, and do you remember which songs you sang on?
Well, God, there were a lot of songs on there.
There are a lot.
I...
What was your favorite song in the Bettys that you sang?
Oh, wow. You know, the one I really liked was one written by Sissy. And I'm just... so long ago. It was one she wrote toward the end. This Is It. I really loved singing that. It had good, tight harmonies, and it was very complicated because I had a horrible bass part, and it was really hard to do.
Okay, This Is It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Where are you now, and what are you doing?
I'm in Ohio, and I'm somewhere in the vicinity of Akron. And
did you grow up in Ohio?
Yes, for the most part.
Okay.
Moved around a little, but other than that, I was just here. And what I'm doing, I think I spend most of my time involved with the art of teaching children at a school. It's called a Waldorf school. It's the methodology. It's pretty insane. I do a lot of the things I love to do, like painting and music and blah de blah, on and on. But,
cool. What age kids?
Huh?
What age kids?
Well, the way things work, I take a class from first grade through eighth grade. So I'm on my second group of poor children, and we're in sixth grade right now. So.
And you've been with them since first grade?
Yes.
Wow. That's like being their mom or something.
Sort of.
Okay, so can you give me a brief synopsis of your life from the Bettys until now? Sort of, you know, where you've lived, any major life events, and especially bands you've played in.
Okay. Well...
When was the Bettys? Do you remember what the first gig was that the Bettys played?
It was a benefit. It was a benefit, and I think it was at JB's. I remember playing at Oberlin College too. Was one of our, and so that might have been the first show. It was.
And that would have been in what, 1981, 82?
Huh.
How long were you guys together? Year, 2 years?
Oh,
3 years.
It was very symbolic. It was 9 months.
9 months, really?
Yeah.
That's all.
That's it. I think so. Although we were, the initial little group of people were playing probably before that. Significantly, a few months anyways, maybe. So, yeah, something like 9 months.
There was a precursor to the Bettys?
Well, there was the Bettys, and there was just a group of people. Before we started playing out, there was a group of people that had been together. It was Diane and Lynn, and then... a roommate of Diane's, Brenda Johnson, and I, and we were playing in Diane and Brenda's apartment, one of those apartment buildings down on off of 59, and yeah, so we started playing and writing some things then, and then we rented a house, and at that point, we started looking around for more people, and that's when Sissy and Jennifer joined, and then I don't know. I mean, it's so long ago, it's hard to remember.
Okay, so I interrupted you. What did you...
Oh, you
were in a bunch of bands. After the Bettys broke up, you stayed around Kent, right?
I was in Kent for a bit. I had the pleasure of being in Keith Bush and Tom Strange's band, Ragged Bags, with Diane as well, and... So I did that for a while. That was, I'm thinking, around 84. tour, because we went on some road trips, and that must have been around 84. And then, I don't know, I did some other things. I don't really remember. It was sort of noise group things. And then I moved up to Cleveland.
Were you playing bass in all these bands?
No. One of them I was just playing junk. In the bags I was playing bass, yeah.
Okay.
And I went up to Cleveland, and I did some little, I had a little project with Kristen Kepper up there called Orange Orange. We did that for a bit. And then I met my husband, Tim Gilbride. He was putting together a group called Lowdown. So I was in that with, I played bass, and that had Tim and Mark Edwards from My Dad Is Dead was in that, and Scott Lash, who does heavy metal things up there, and Anita Smith, who had been in Kent for a while. So we did that, and then I think we had one release and did some recording at a Beat Farm. And then, let me see, the Channel Masters was the next big thing. And that was great fun. That was just a huge group of people, varying, changing mishmash of individuals. Jim Kleinfelder was one of the main people, and Jeff and Karen Curtis, who Jeff had been with Diane and Jacuzzi and some other bands in the area. And my husband Tim was in that. And so I played a variety. Oh, Randy Russell. He was a former Kent person. I played bass and various other junk and noise and sang, and it was great fun. That was great fun. So we did that a pretty long time, and the band kept changing, and then finally it gave way because Jeff and Karen became pregnant, and so they had to go off and do that, and the band kind of dissolved. And then I did the Quarks, which was a duo with Jeff Ingram in Kent. By then, we'd moved down to Kent and bought a house down there and were hanging out. And then that lasted about maybe a year with the Quarks. And then we started a group in 94, Cruel Cruel Moon, which was with my husband and myself. I was playing guitar, playing bass, writing, singing, and then Craig Martin and Mark Keffer. And we went through a few drummers. Most notably, I think we had Derek Erdman and Ian Penter on that project. And some of the music I'm sending you is from that group as well. They are the most fantastic band I've ever been in.
Okay, cool.
So, Alan. Beyond the Betty's.
Okay, cool.
And that's what I've been doing.
Okay, and then from what you told me before, you Cruel Cruel Moon stopped playing, and you sort of went on musical hiatus, right? You have some sort of a shoulder thing that makes it difficult to play the guitar, and you've faced childhood traumas and returned to the piano.
Yeah. So I've been playing piano and singing, and I think Tim's been working on guitar with my music. So I've been relearning everything on the piano and writing new material, and that's been real exciting. And
you and Tim have even played out. You played out recently, right?
Yeah.
What'd you call yourselves?
Kent Stage. We don't really have a name.
Okay.
And we avoided that whole difficulty.
Okay.
So,
was that going to continue? Are you going to be performing more?
If I can find a keyboard that I can move around that I like, it's a problem. I don't like electric piano, but it's really difficult to lug an upright piano around with yourself. So.
Oh, yeah, that'll do your shoulder in, too.
So that's a little problem. And we're sort of sometimes toying with maybe reworking with Cruel Cruel Moon again. So that really never quit. We just kind of needed a break, so.
So let me ask you a really heavy question. Do you see yourself as a musician, an artist, or whatever? I mean, was the Betty sort of like a surprise, something you didn't, or did you, had you always planned on being in some sort of band, or just sort of where does Betty's fit in, and in terms of life in your, in art in your life?
Yeah. Well, I was an art student at Kent, and but I think what happened was at that time I was absolutely desperate to be in a band, and it's just something that came over me one night that I had to do it, and I just fortunately ran into another, you know, a group of people that also wanted to desperately be in a band, and it was absolutely perfect because, you know, it's, you know, Alan, it's like so great to have run into a group of people at that point in my life who, no matter what idea I would bring, they would always say yes, you know?
Cool.
And so it was great. It was, you know, we all wanted to be in a band. We all didn't know what we were doing. And we were all willing to do anything.
And it seems like you guys did have a run of really good ideas. And I don't know how much of this is your influence or where this came from, but you guys were much more performance-oriented than any other band. I mean, part of the Betty's was just your visual presence, your physical presence, and then you guys would do interesting things, subtle stuff, but real interesting stuff, like the time you had the girl with the paste-up clothes, you know, the little paper doll thing, only you made a life-size one, and you changed her clothes. You know, they even had tabs on it, like on her skirts and stuff, between performances. And then one time, one of you found, I'm still jealous, I hope you still have this, the torso to, like, high school biology class, you know, revealing a human torso, showing, you know, the anatomy, the internal anatomy and all that. And you guys brought that and just stuck that on stage. But is that, I mean, did the art thing sort of, or were those just last-minute throwaway ideas that you just did?
You know, honest to God, I don't know. I know from my perspective, I'm kind of into musicals and theater and, you know, showbiz kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing about having programs at the show.
Oh yeah, programs.
Right. And, but a lot of that, you know, also, you know, was with Diane and Sissy and Jennifer and Lynn, and you know, and it was so long ago. I have such a hard time remembering where things evolved from.
Yeah.
You know, part of it's just like keeping yourself from being bored because you're playing the same songs,
right,
you know, over and over and over. You want the audience to keep coming back, you know, so it was partly just to entertain ourselves. And so it was just this constant thing where we had to have a title for each show, you know. And
yes, they had a theme. It was, yes, you were probably the most theatrical group. I think theatrical is probably the best word to describe it.
Yeah, I think
entertaining,
so.
theatrical.
It was kind of like performance art, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought so.
And I think that probably was standing behind it, you know. And it was just, you know, and it's sort of interesting that Chai Pig is doing this benefit because, I was really influenced. They just blew my brains away when I first saw them. And I was coming in from, I was living in Pennsylvania at the time, and I'd come in to JB's and go to shows, and we were seeing some Beatles cover band, and this was what we were going to go see, and we were dancing to them in the Numbers Band, and one night there were these people on stage, you know, in a leopard skin, and just nuts. It was just crazy, and I just never seen anything like it. I'd been living in seclusion out in the woods in Pennsylvania, so from that moment I was like, wow, I can do anything I want to do. And so that's what it was. You know, it was just any harebrained idea that we could come up with, you know, let's just do it. And
Well, it's hard to make that work. It's hard to make being beginners on playing instruments work. It's hard to, you know, have the chutzpah to make all this stuff work. But the amazing thing about the Betty's is, to me, you guys made it work better than anybody. And it wasn't just a bluff. I mean, it really was theatrical. It really was good. So maybe you've already answered this question, but is there anything about the Betty's that you especially miss?
Well, I think that was it, that everyone was just so willing to
try stuff, open creativity.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I think drives me nuts at this point is that there are rules. You know, there are rules that are you're allowed to do when you're in a band, when you're on stage. There are these things that, you know, nobody, you know, people are afraid, I guess, to, you know, be ridiculous or something. And that's frustrating to me because I think it's showbiz and you're up there to entertain. So,
well, I think it's probably cyclic. A lot of these things seem to culturally seem to be follow a cycle where there's a period where it's sort of encouraged and breaking the rules is the name of the game, and then people sort of get tired of that and they look for some structure or a set of rules and then kind of follow that for a while until that gets too stifling, and then it kind of goes back to breaking the rules again. Something like that.
Something. So I don't know.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did being in the Bettys influence your life and who you are today?
They made it possible for me to learn an instrument, learn how to be in a band, and made it possible for, and I got a little bit of a reputation from that, so then I was able to be in other groups.
That made it possible for you to go on. I mean,
yeah.
You wanted to, it didn't kill your, you know, some people are, might have been in a band and it was just like too much of a hassle and it was a bad experience and they didn't want to keep going. But so I think that, I guess what I believe is that the Bettys must have been, for you guys, certainly was for me, a great experience because almost all of you have continued on playing with music and that.
Yeah, I think, it was a good experience. I mean, it was. I'll have to say, after the band demise, I didn't want to be in another band, and at least for a while, but that's me, that's my thing. I saturate myself in something, and then I'm like, oh, I'm done with that. I don't want to ever do that again, and then, you know, a couple months go by, and I'm doing it again. So.
Okay.